Hey, welcome to another episode of The OK Show, brought to you by The Current. My name is Andrea Swenson, and this is the show that features real musicians talking about their real lives. This week, we're going to hear from Maida, a St. Paul native who recently traveled to Korea to meet her birth parents for the first time. She's also going to share a journey that she's been on with her health, and we'll take a listen to some of her most recent music. We'll get to that conversation in just a moment, but first, a little background information on Maida and why I wanted to invite her onto today's show. First time I saw Maida, we were both sitting in a mildewy coffee shop basement in South Minneapolis, enjoying one of the very first Mad Ripple Hootenannies. It's a singer-songwriter showcase that's hosted by the music writer Jim Walsh, and most of the people there were singing these really introspective, quiet folk ballads. But then here comes Maida, a giant acoustic guitar strapped around her tiny body, and she's strutting and spitting and sassing her way through her songs with attitude and funky style. I was transfixed. Offstage, the 30-year-old artist Maida Miller is quiet, almost demure, and she speaks slowly and thoughtfully about her passion and her songs. But as soon as she gets up on stage, she becomes a force to be reckoned with. She commands the stage with confidence and conveys the kind of star power and magnetism that can't be taught. I've been observing Maida and talking to Maida for almost a decade now, and at every step of her career, I've wondered if this is the song or this is the show that will finally connect her with the larger audience that she deserves. She's got the chops, she's got the voice, and she's got the drive to keep creating and keep getting stronger and better, not only in her music career, but also in her newfound passion of creating autobiographical theater. Her one-woman show, Demated, had a successful two-night run at the Guthrie Theater this fall, and she hopes to remount it in 2016. Though she's hesitant to let on, Maida's also been dealing with some seriously life-altering changes in her personal life, and it keeps threatening to throw her off of her path. This interview is the first time that Maida has spoken publicly about her health, and the conversation comes in the midst of a years-long personal struggle that's also included a very emotional journey to Korea to meet her birth parents. Over the next 30 minutes, we'll talk about her personal journey, her unrelenting resolve, and her singular goal to be an honest, genuine artist and person. Hey, Maida. How's it going?
Pretty good.
So we have a lot to talk about, and just to peel back the curtain right away, this is actually our second time that we've sat down together. The first time we had a really lovely chat over at Ginkgo Coffee, and we talked about all kinds of stuff, just got caught up on your last few years. And today we're going to talk a little bit more about that. I guess to start with, when you got to the point that you wanted to put on this show, how did you go about thinking about what you wanted to express in that show and what you wanted it to tell people about yourself?
I think that I got really inspired when I started working at the Guthrie Theater more than a few years ago. And I just fell in love with putting something on stage, especially versus putting something on a screen. But when I saw people just using their bodies and things around them that are more accessible, I thought, that's easier. I can do that. And I feel like I've done a lot of music already, and I have enough material, and I have enough drive, and I have enough things that I would like to say, that there's a place and a time that I think I can express this in a safe way. You know, I've been touring for a long time, and obviously I'm crazy and I have issues, and one of those things is being adopted and trying to find my birth parents and playing music at the same time and all the things that go along with that. Like, you know, what do my parents hear and what do my parents in Korea think about me and what I do? And I mean, I want to please them and I want to please myself at the same time, and that doesn't always coincide. So there's one thing that I, you know, I think about and try to make sense of, and it definitely spurs creativity in me.
Yeah.
So it causes me to keep going and talk to other people and create projects. And I kind of like to create goals for myself. And so touring and putting on, you know, shows and trying to tackle different mediums like theater versus music is a goal that I had, a huge one. And I just... I'm so lucky. I mean, I must have done something right in life that Randy Reyes from Moo Theater approached me and decided to help me put on my one-woman show, and he's like one of my idols. He's such a wonderful person in general. He really helped me out in more than just creating a piece for me. He helped me as a person, and he continues to do so.
I imagine that you would have to really develop a trusting relationship with someone to put on a show that's so personal. What was it like for you to have, you know, gone through this experience that's so intimately personal and then have to get up in front of a room full of people and tell this story?
I think it's the fact that I can't lie.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, I can't pretend. I mean... I can, you know, it's funny and it's fun, but you can always tell when I'm pretending. I guess it's, some people are really good at it, obviously, but I'm not. And the only thing I have really is the truth and myself. And I don't really have the energy or the time to fake shit anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and as I get older, I just don't like wasting time. Yeah. And I like to be real, and I like to connect with people on genuine levels, not just, hey, high five, good show, let's go smoke, cool, we had a good night, see you later. I want to keep connections. It's not just saying hi, awesome show. I want to, you know, get to know people.
Right.
And I want people to get to know me.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get, there's so many people in this world, obviously, and I know I talk really generally, but it's true. And I think the more you can connect with people, the better. And it really enriches your life, and it enriches other people's life. And that's kind of the key.
That's kind of why I wanted to do this podcast.
Yeah, this is why I'm doing this with you. I feel like this is like a second date, and I'm honored. I'm honored to... Yeah.
I'm starting to get serious.
Yeah, let's not get into my dating history, but yeah. Second date. Awesome.
Well, I want to hear more about your journey to Korea. And one thing that really surprised me when we were talking before is that not only did you decide to go to Korea to find your birth parents, but you are also on tour.
Yeah.
And kind of balancing your life as a musician who tours and has to organize shows and show up places at certain times and perform, and then going on this incredible journey to learn more about your family and yourself. What was that like for you?
It was overwhelming, to say the least, and I'm still processing it. It's going to be a lifelong thing for me. People think that, you know, if you're adopted and then you find your parents, oh, then life is great. You know, you found them. Let's go hop in the sunshine. It's not. For me, it created more questions about myself and my future and my life and my other life. Like, I have another life that I could have had, mm-hmm. and that I do have. And that's weird. But then I have this life here that's totally different, with totally different people. I interact with people differently. And while I was on tour, I'm not into astrology, really, but I've really looked into Sagittarius, which I am. And one of those things is that one of my characteristics is that when I have a goal, I go for it, and I can be really stubborn about it as well. And I feel like that has stuck with me. That just was on my mind a lot when I was the first time I went to meet my parents. In October last year, I played every day for 2 weeks. Sometimes even two times a day. I had no idea where I was going. I had, like, seriously, the CIA of Korean adoptees helping me out. They were awesome. They're amazing. I feel like they're my family. As much as I annoyed them, as much as I needed them, they were there for me and made sure I was, you know, fed. They made sure I was where I was at, and they were there emotionally too. Like, you go as a Korean adoptee, one of the things you feel, that most people feel, at least I do, is you feel alone.
Yeah.
And you feel like nobody else is going through what you're going through, even though being a Korean adoptee is pretty common, especially in Minnesota. So, like, having people around me that have gone through the same thing, similar things, there was an unspoken feeling. Like, you need your time? Cool. Take your time.
Right.
You know, like, if you need to go stand in a corner by yourself and bang your head against the wall, you do that. I understand. I'm not going to judge you. Like, there was no judgment there, which was something that I never have experienced. And they just let me be who I was and feel what I was feeling and let me be confused as I was and made sure I was okay. And I'm just so grateful for that. Because I was so busy.
Yeah.
There was just so much emotional things that I could have broke down that time, but I didn't. I met my parents. I kind of did the awkward Maida thing, like, do you guys play music? Well, you know, like, I play music too. You don't? Okay. Weird. And it, you know, we didn't speak English, or they didn't speak English. I didn't speak Korean, so there was a translator there. It totally, like, breaks down the emotional connection. I didn't understand what they were feeling, because they didn't smile once.
Mm.
When I walked in the room, my mother's face was distraught. And it was mostly because... I don't know what she was thinking, but it didn't come off as a positive thing.
Mm.
So I don't know exactly what she was thinking, but they were worried, they were sorry, they were crying. There were a million things going through my head, like, do they look like me? Do we have the same eyebrows? Do we smile the same?
Yeah.
Who are my brothers and sisters? Oh, they don't know about me. I'll remain a secret. What does that mean? Like, so I have this other life that they're not going to know about me, and, you know, I'm not supposed to tell people or something like that. Or I don't know. Everything was so confusing. Oh, plus I have a gig I need to get to.
Yeah.
Jeez. Like in an hour. They're like, come on. Come, we can take you to our house out in the farm. And I'm like, but I have a gig.
Mm.
Which is like, I don't know. I felt bad about that because this is my new family,
right,
in a sense. But I have a job to do.
Right.
Like, this isn't just a family meeting. Plus a new chapter in my life. This is my work.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know how to, like, sum it up in one sentence, even.
You don't have to.
Yeah, it's difficult.
It sounds like a lot to unpack all at once.
Yeah, and I'm a person that likes to, like, you know, get things done.
Right.
Efficiently. And if I have a job to do, I need to be there.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And then I went back a few months later to tour and do the same thing. I was there only just for a week, but I still played every day. And I broke down then. I didn't meet my parents again because I found out they didn't want to see me again.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel. I still don't know how to feel about that, but that just makes me, you know, say, okay, well, that's that. I have jobs to do, you know, I have priorities that I can focus on. And I do have, it's not like that's the only thing in the world in my life, you know.
I'm really interested in what you had to say about searching for similarities between you and them.
Oh.
Were you able to find any kind of connection or any kind of overlap in either your appearance or personality? Or I know it was hard to communicate with them.
I think me personally, I didn't see anything.
Mm.
Like I could have been walking down the street and seen those people and been like, those are people.
Yeah.
Like wouldn't think twice. And I don't think I look like them. I mean, I look like a lot of Korean people.
Yeah.
You know? And they showed me a picture of one sister. I don't know where she was in the line of six. But they were like, yeah, you guys have the same cheeks. And like, okay.
Mm.
I have the same cheeks as Andrea. Like...
Yeah.
We have similar curves.
So how long were you with your parents?
We were in the room for maybe 2 or 3 hours.
Okay. And is this, you said that you kind of had basically a CIA level service helping you while you were there. Is there someone that whose job it is to help people reconnect in this way?
Yeah, the agency. There was a young girl who translated. And she was very nice. She did an okay job, but still things got lost because you can't, you know, exactly say everything.
Yeah.
And you can't translate emotion.
Right.
For sure.
Right. One thing as well that I liked talking to you about previously was where you get your fight from.
My fight. Yeah, I like to talk about the Han that Koreans have. And I know that it's not like a totally well-known thing, but I know Anthony Bourdain has talked about it on his show when he visited South Korea. But it's kind of a thing, an old ancient thing that Koreans have this Han that they want revenge all the time, or they need to prove something. So they're constantly fighting, or not necessarily fighting, but just trying to like overcome something and tell people, you know, this is who I am, this is why I do things, we need to just get things done. There's no plan B. You need to just fight and fight and fight until you win. But I feel that, I actually do feel that drive in me. Like, I feel no matter what things are thrown at me, you know, people, judgments, no's, rejections, health problems, mental issues, I can get through it. You know, like, I know I can do it. And I'm going to fight till I can because I can, you know, because I know I can. I know I can. And if you know you can do something, then do it.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I just feel like if you have the power to do it, then do it.
I'm curious, you know, talking about the Han, have you been able to talk to other Korean adoptees here in Minnesota about your experiences and things like that, learning more about yourself in that way, in kind of a more of a cultural context?
We've talked about it a little bit. I mean, I think most Korean adoptees know about it. I don't know if they are as passionate or interested in it as I am, but, you know, it's something for me to write about. I'm interested in it. I have a song about it, and I think it comes through a lot in my songs. I don't, like, say it, but you can hear it. You can hear my drive in all the songs I write because I really care. When I write songs and when I create things and when I work at a job or just in life, I like to do things well.
Yeah.
I like to make sure they're done as best as I can. And I think that's part of the, I think that's the Han ringing through.
Mentioned this word a few times now, judging people and being judged.
Yeah.
Is that something that you have a lot of experience with?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like the cookie cutter of anything, physically or mentally or emotionally, or, you know, I feel like there's nothing normal about me, and that's just me feeling the way I feel, and that comes from my own issues. And I mean I know people judge me because they say things to me, they message me, they text me, or, you know, in good and bad ways. Good at, like, awesome, I've been judged amazingly, like I have proof, reviews, you know, on paper, on TV, and then I have proof, you know, through private messages and Facebook, you know, you just see it, I see it all over, and there's so much coming at me about every aspect of my life, the way I look, the way, what I do in life, and it comes from strangers, it comes from my family, it comes from friends. And that's normal. That's totally normal. And everybody goes through that. And that's something that can be really hard to swallow, especially if it's a negative judgment.
Yeah.
That's just life.
You sound so matter-of-fact about it, though. I mean, does it bother you? Does it get to you?
Oh, yeah, it does bother me, but, like, I have the power to say, you know, yeah, that's true, or maybe I should do something about that, or maybe I shouldn't, maybe I'm okay, maybe I'm just different. You really have to do a lot of internalizing.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot to unpack.
I know, right? I feel like I'm going through like a psychologist's mind.
Right. So one thing that we talked about off mic last time that we met is something that I wanted to talk to you more about now that we're here. I know that you've been on a big journey with your health over the last several years, and I'm wondering if you'd be willing to talk a little bit about that and whatever you're comfortable sharing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like, it's weird because I've been through so many emotional things and so many physical things. And one thing that I've developed in the past few years is Crohn's disease, which has been a huge battle for me. And I didn't quite understand it for a long time. And I didn't really want to believe it because I'm, you know, I've got the Han and the drive, and I'm stubborn too. So when, you know, even a little cold, I'm like, ah, it's just a cold. I can get through anything. It, you know, it'll go away. I'm the type of person also that's like, you know, my body is going to take care of itself. You know, it's programmed to deal with cells and things that come after, that attack it, and you know, it'll eventually heal or not, or you know, do what it needs to do to keep on going. But yeah, I for some reason, like, I've always had issues with like my stomach and just kind of digestive stuff, and like it got really, really bad in the past few years, and I went to the doctor finally, and I didn't have insurance, but it got so bad that I was like, I really want to figure out what's going on, because it's affecting a lot of things.
Yeah.
And my performance and the way I look, and they said I probably have Crohn's disease, which totally freaked me out. And
had you heard of that before?
I had not. I just knew that I would get major stomach aches during the day. And I just, you know, thought it was normal. Like, when you have it for so long and you don't really look at it, you just kind of think, oh, it's just something I got to deal with. Like, you have asthma.
Right.
It's something you just got to, you know, when things get bad, they get bad, deal with it. Or sometimes they don't, and you're fine. But it started getting worse and worse and worse. And so, like, I decided to go in, and I went to multiple places because I didn't have insurance, and I just wanted to figure it out. And they're like, yeah. And some people said, yeah, you might need surgery, which totally freaked me out. When I hear surgery, I'm like, or procedure? Because I've had procedures before for other things. I'm like, oh my God. One, that's expensive. Two, that's really fucking scary. Because I just like to go. I've always been the kid that's like, dinner time, okay, eat. I want to go play. You know, like, yeah. I want to go play. I just want to play. I want to, you know, like, what's next? What's next? What's next? And so, like, I'm stubborn in that sense that I'll just be like, what? Surgery? Scary. I just want to play. You know, like, what's next? Let's get this done. Let's right. play the show. Do the best I can. And so I kind of ignored it, and I kind of kept it a secret for a really long time. And it got worse and worse, and, you know, people notice things, and people say things, and that's where a lot of judgment comes in, and people ask questions, people suggest things, people assume things. You know, like, what the hell? You don't even know me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can you say that? And you don't even know me. And even my close friends and family members are like, what's wrong with you? Like, you must have this or da-da-da or try to diagnose me with things. And I'm
right.
like, you don't even know me. Fine. Think what you want to think. You know, like, I don't have time to sit around and analyze what you think about me. Like, I'm doing music. I'm just trying to be happy. I'm just trying to do the right thing. I'm not trying to... I'm not important. At some points, I'd say, like, I'd think to myself, it's not about me. This life isn't about me. It's about what I can do with other people, for other people. And that's what's important, not about my health. But now, the older I get, I'm like, if I can't do the things I want to do because of my health, then there's a problem.
What was the turning point for you?
Because I'm bad at hiding things. And I'm bad at lying, and I don't have time to, and I don't have energy to. And it sucks having, I mean, I've learned that everybody's going to judge you no matter what.
Yeah.
Even if you're the prettiest, healthiest person on the planet, the most, you're still going to get judged. And I've learned that I'm not the cookie cutter person, the cookie cutter human. And so there's always going to be judgment, but as long as I'm taking care of me in the best way I can, then that's important. And health is important.
Yeah.
And trying to take care of my Crohn's is important, especially now. And the older I get, the harder things get.
Yeah.
You know? Physically, mentally, and emotionally. So it's important to take care of things and be honest and true with people. You know? Yeah. So there's that struggle. Everybody's got their something.
That's true.
Whether it's your health, whether it's your mental health, your physical health. I don't know. I'm sorry if I got really deep.
No, that is exactly what...
Or gross.
I hoped for. It wasn't gross. It's very real. And I think, you know, you talk about judgment and you talk about people who don't know you wondering what's happening. And I think ultimately, I mean, obviously people say stupid stuff all the time, but there is at the core of that, people just want to know that you're okay.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to hear that you are taking care of it and addressing it and, you know, obviously let everybody know if you need help, because I think you would be amazed how many people care about you and would be willing to help you.
Yeah, it's hard too, because I'm one of, you know, I got the Han, you know, like I want to do things myself.
Yeah.
I've always, ever since I was a little girl, I'm like, I can do this myself. Yeah. I don't need anybody else. I'm going to do this. I'm going to conquer this. You know, I don't need anybody telling me what to do. I don't need an institution. I don't need medication. I don't need doctors. I'm a fighter. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes I do need to remember that there are people that care. And sometimes you just need to take that hand or, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that with me.
Yeah, no probs. You know, it's just something I do every day. It's like walking the dog, whatevs. But really, no, I do. I am really as stubborn and stupid as I am. I am so happy and lucky. I'm like I honestly believe I'm the luckiest person in the world. I don't know how people are the way they are towards me. And give me what they give me and help me the way they help me, because I'm a crappy person. Like, I don't do anything special. I feel selfish. Like, I do what I want to do when I want to do it. And I just focus on my happiness and my success. And sometimes I do it in the wrong ways. Sometimes I do it in the right ways. But whatever I do it. And people seem to just help me out and support me. And I can't be any more grateful. I just don't deserve it sometimes.
Well, I'll have to strongly disagree with you there, because I think you are absolutely special. And I think that you have touched so many people. I mean, I tell this story all the time when I see you, but I just always remember the first time I saw you sing, you know, at the Hootenanny with your guitar, and everyone that was in the room was immediately connected to you. And you have a power and an ability to do that that few people can do. And just to know, you know, everything that you've gone through off stage, and that you've continued to be so bold and confident and powerful when you're on stage, you know. My dad asked me who was coming up in the podcast, and I said, Maida. And he said, you get to talk to Maida.
What?
Whoa, that's a big deal. Like, you're a big deal. I'm just going to say it.
Oh,
kind
thanks.
Of a big deal.
It's my Napoleon complex, to be honest. Like, it's a good thing, like, I say this a lot, but it's a good thing that I'm in the artistic world, because otherwise I would be Kim Jong-il or something. It'd be bad. It'd be bad news. But I'm just so thankful that I know people like you. And it's weird. I love impressing moms and dads.
Aww.
And grandmas.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but like, it makes me so extra happy when people say what you just said. Like, oh, my mom is excited you're on this, or, you know, like, my kids love you, or stuff like that. That's like what makes me happy. That makes my days so much better, when I hear that the younger people and the older people are just, that I can connect with them.
Yeah. Thank you, Maida, for talking to me.
Hey, thank you. To be, I know you're not when you say you're not okay.
Thank you so much to Maida for taking part in such an honest conversation. Throughout our conversation, you heard music from her most recent album, Busy Signals, which she released in two volumes over 2014 and this year. Stay tuned for more details on Maida's one-woman show, which she's planning to remount in early 2016. This has been another installment of The OK Show from The Current. Stay tuned for the season one finale, which is happening next week. We're going to go out with a bang, and I'm so excited to share an incredibly candid and powerful conversation that I had with Claire Monasterio, a songwriter and hip-hop artist who performs in Girl Party under the name Manchita. Don't forget, you can find all of The OK Show episodes over at thecurrent.org, as well as on all of your favorite podcasting apps. And you can download a new episode every Wednesday. I'm your host, Andrea Swenson, and until next time, it's going to be okay.
When I was a little off key, well, by my side, you did not leave. So I just want to do what you did.